If the world were merely seductive, that would be easy. If it were merely challenging, that would be no problem. But I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day. And this week's opening quote comes from E.B. White. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. That's one of the problems with life, folks. For the awake person, anyway, it's one of the problems in life, is the fact that you really would like to enjoy life, but there is just so much work to be done. There are so many things that need to be done to improve this world, and yet the world is a beautiful place that you just want to enjoy, and so it does make it very difficult to plan the day. And of course, we're given so many things to enjoy as well. So many of the conveniences that we have in our life are very enjoyable to use, and yet it is these conveniences that are leading us into the control grid that we are trying to combat. It's a very interesting dichotomy the way they've set it up, whereby the very devices that are enslaving us are so enjoyable to use, and it's such an enjoyable slavery system to be in. Of course, people don't enjoy having to pay to be alive and many of the things that go along with it, but all of the devices that are used to curtail their experience and to limit their thought processes and limit their knowledge and limit their access to what is real in the world are also enjoyable to use. And all of them are incredibly deceptive as well. I mean, this is the way the smart system is. You see people connected on their smartphones and they're enjoying clicking all the apps and clicking all the devices and clicking all the icons. And it's all very enjoyable for them. And also it comes across as something which gives them freedom because it gives them instant connectivity. It gives them instant access to all sorts of services. And this is much the way it is with the cryptocurrencies. It seems to bring a great deal of freedom to people. And yet underneath it is a darker side that many people simply don't seem to be looking at and don't seem to even be considering to be possible. And this is something that I've noticed in the crypto world, something that I very much noticed at the Acapulco conference that I just attended and spoke at, was that a great many people are allowing hubris to dictate their actions. Many people can't see that there may be a darker side to the cryptocurrency scene. Many people think that now we've got cryptos, we're free from the banks, and so that means it's clear sailing, we can all be our own banks, and now we are free. Many people perceive banking to be the entirety of the problem, but really it isn't. It's part of the problem for sure, but it certainly isn't the entirety of the problem. And it never has been. Speaking of the cryptocurrency scene, though, it was a fantastic event in Acapulco that I spoke at a couple of weeks ago, the Acapulco Cryptocurrency Anarcho-Capitalism Conference that went for about a week at the Princess Resort in Acapulco. Truly fantastic event, folks. It has really grown to incredible proportions over the 4 years that it's been running. The first year, I believe, there was 150 people there. The second year, there were 300. Last year there was 500, and the gig that we just did there, there were 1,600 people there, and they're expecting around about 4,000 people next year. So it's growing exponentially, and it's great to see this many people actually showing an interest in anarchism and an interest in government corruption and finding ways out of the system. Of course, there was a great number of people who were there simply because of the cryptocurrencies, people looking for the next big thing that they're going to get rich quick from. There was, of course, that element, but at the same time, there were people such as myself and Mark Passio speaking there, and good on the conference for having people such as us there, because we bring a very different perspective to what many of the anarcho-capitalist or cryptocurrency people will be looking at. Again, many of the cryptocurrency people are quite welcoming the onset of 5G. They're quite welcoming the smart grid because they're not really looking at the deeper picture and how the IoT and the cashless grid really works and how it's all going to fit together and what cryptocurrency could be used for. As I said, many people believe that the banks are the whole of the problem, but they're not. They're simply part of the problem. I mean, money has been the catalyst, the glue that's held the system together up to this point, but it is certainly not the whole of the problem. What's been the problem and has been the problem right from the very beginning is people's willingness to give their own power away. people's belief in authority and people simply allowing others to dictate their actions and to lead them into the direction that they wish to lead them rather than taking the responsibility into their own hands and leading themselves. And that's very much what's happening in the smart grid world and the cryptocurrency world as well. And look, there's a lot of fervor and a lot of paranoia regarding cryptocurrencies. There really is. You know, and I've tried to point out many times in the past that all of these things are tools. It's simply how we use them. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with cryptocurrency any more than that which is wrong with any currency. You know, our need to use this stuff is the problem to begin with. But there's nothing inherently wrong with cryptos. It's just where the whole thing is being led. You know, many people in the crypto anarcho-capitalism world, as I said, they see cryptocurrencies as being non-regulated, non-centralized, non-bankster friendly, and so therefore they see that as the be-all and end-all and the way out of the system. But they're not looking at further things. They're not looking at the smart grid and the IoT and how it all ties together. And they're not taking the social crediting system into account. And social crediting is something that is very much rearing its ugly head and what is going to be used to control what people can and cannot purchase. And that's how they control you, folks. It isn't by controlling the amount of cash flow you have or the amount of currency you have in the bank the way they have done. They've always kept people in scarcity by limiting their access to funds to buy things. But now they can give everybody all the funds that they've ever wanted and all the cryptocurrency they've ever wanted. And what they do is they limit your purchasing power via a social crediting system, which is based on your willingness to comply with government regulations and to not question government authority. Don't think outside the box and you get rewards. If you do think outside the box, you get penalized and you get denied access to basic services. And that's how social crediting works, and that is what they intend to roll out. That's where all this is leading. And they do this to people who they perceive are causing harm. And again, it comes down to what you perceive harm to be and who determines what that harm is. And if this is determined by AI, then you have to ask yourself the question, what constitutes harm? Because it can be saying the wrong thing, and simply offending someone can constitute harm, and suddenly you find yourself denied access to basic services that you've always had access to. And we've seen this sort of thing unfolding now, at least the precursor for it, in as much as the censorship we're now seeing on social media. You know, we always take things like free speech as being something for granted, something that we always have and that we will always have access to. And yet now we're seeing free speech being severely curtailed on platforms such as YouTube. We're seeing mass censorship, channels being deleted simply because they're thinking outside of the box and they're saying things that YouTube, that the algorithm that governs YouTube anyway, does not particularly like them saying. And again, this is being done under the manner of protecting people from harm because it will delete a channel claiming that the channel is guilty of bullying and harassment. And really, all I've done is thought outside the box and said something that somebody else didn't agree with. I've had videos recently deleted for bullying and harassment, and there's been no bullying in the video, no harassment in the video. It's simply being me offering my opinion on a particular topic. And so this is what they use, and this is how they do it. And people who do think within the box will say, oh, that's good that channel's been deleted if they were bullying and harassing people. But they have to look at what constitutes bullying and harassment. As I've said before, it may be simply me not using some fabricated pronoun that people have made up for whatever name they wish to create for themselves, or saying anything that offends anybody in any way at all, which is simply not acceptable in any type of progressive society, because in any type of progressively forward-thinking society, of course, there's always going to be people that get offended by someone else's opinion. Now, what this does is it basically prevents people from discussing anything and thinking anything outside whatever line the government has provided for them. And that's where we see the system going. And through social crediting, what happens is you find that one day you go to buy an airline ticket and you're simply not qualified to buy that airline ticket because of some post you made on Facebook last month. And that is how social crediting works. And in that sort of a situation, it doesn't matter how much cryptocurrency you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you're not able to spend it on anything because of your political views, then you're not able to spend it. So that's the way it goes. And when you're in a situation where it's pay as you go for everything, pay as you go for all essential services, whenever you turn a tap on, whenever you open your fridge, whenever you turn a light on, it's all pay as you go once it becomes smart. Or pay as you go when you enter supermarkets, such as the new Amazon supermarkets that are coming online, then it's very easy to deny people access to certain services, to certain foods, to simple everyday things that they have taken for granted in their life. Very easy to lock you out of your car once you have a self-driving car, once it's a smart vehicle. Very easy to lock you out of your house once you have a digital lock on your house and your password becomes bioacoustic resonance or a retinal scan or even your DNA. And most especially when you have to pay as you go for every single action you perform, it becomes very, very easy to lock you out of whatever services they wish to lock you out of. And all you need to be able to pull this off is for currency to go digital. And that's why we need to be very, very careful of where we're being led with this whole crypto revolution. And we need to take into account the fact that the world is run by criminals. We need to factor that into everything that we're doing and every pathway out of this system that we're attempting to create. Because if we don't factor that in and we allow these people to continue to steer the ship of state while we make the transition into digital, then it's going to lead us into a smart prison system, the likes of which we could never have imagined, because we fail to take into account the reality that the world is run by criminals. And we need to address that fact, because at the moment we can at least hold these people liable. We have at least mechanisms in place where if we were to rise up and really stand our ground, we could get some accountability from these people. But once it all switches over into AI and it's all an algorithm, then there's no appeal process. There's no one to hold accountable because it's simply an algorithm. And in that sort of a situation, the governance we have becomes even worse than the governments we've got now. And many people are allowing themselves to be led into this, thinking that what they're creating is anarchy. Simply because they're removing the politicians and the figureheads from the top, they think, well, this must be self-governance because there's no figurehead there. But they're failing to take into account the AI governance that is happening via the algorithms that will be controlling every action of our lives once it all goes digital and it all goes smart. And many of them are also failing to take into account how easy it will be to push dissenters into a smart prison system simply by limiting their purchasing power based on their political views. This is how you deal with dissent. You simply quietly shuffle them away, brush them aside by denying them access to certain services and encouraging other people not to associate with them. Very easily done. And in such a system, it becomes very, very easy to deal with dissenters and to make sure everybody thinks exactly the way the government wants them to. And as I said, folks, we're seeing this sort of thing happening now just with the censorship we're seeing on social media, especially on YouTube. Channels are being deleted left, right, and center. And I'm fully expecting my channel to be deleted as well, because I think it's getting far too much attention these days, and YouTube certainly isn't going to want that. So if I do disappear from YouTube, folks, well, that's the way it goes. I probably won't bother opening another channel. I do have a DTube channel and a Steemit account, and I will just move over there and start posting to DTube and to Steemit. And I urge people to go and get involved and to sign up to Steemit and to sign up to DTube and subscribe to the Crow House channel on DTube, or the Max Egan channel anyway. You'll find my Steemit page. You'll find a link to that in the video description on just about every YouTube clip that I post. You'll also find a link to it on my website, thecrowhouse.com. But that will be where I'm going if my channel does suffer deletion at the hands of the YouTube censorship algorithm. And as I said, I am fully expecting this to happen, folks. We've had a good run. It's lasted about 10 years the channel's been going. And we've all been expecting this censorship to come. And, well, here it is. It seems to be rolling out right now. So I do urge people to go over to DTube and to subscribe to the channel on DTube and to sign up for a Steemit account. And we can take activism over there. And we're seeing much the same thing on Facebook as well, folks. Facebook is censoring posts by most people. If you post anything real on Facebook, it usually doesn't get shared. It usually doesn't get seen by anyone, which is why it doesn't get shared. And if you post anything Facebook doesn't like, they ban you for 30 days or whatever. So we're seeing all social media moving towards this direction. So it's very important that we go and set ourselves up in other places so that we can still keep information flowing and we can still maintain contact with each other. Steemit and blockchain accounts are a good place to do this because once things are added to the blockchain, they can't be deleted. And that's a good thing. So as I said, I will be uploading all of my new videos both to YouTube and to DTube as well. And I very much urge people to go and sign up for a DTube account and subscribe over there. And other truthers out there, if you've got a channel on YouTube, if you've got a YouTube channel, I do suggest that you go over to DTube. And if you've got a YouTube channel anyway and you're going to keep it, then at least open up a BitChute account, because if you open up a BitChute account and connect it to your YouTube account, you'll find any videos that YouTube deletes are still available on your BitChute channel. So if my channel does get deleted, you'll find that any videos in the last year that I've uploaded are all on the BitChute channel anyway. You know, and there seems to be a certain amount of sheer paranoia revolving around the blockchain as well. Many people, many truthers, many of the independent media seem terribly fearful of anything to do with the blockchain. They think that blockchain equals AI, AI equals the new world order, and if you support anything to do with blockchain, then you're supporting your own enslavement. And again, folks, these are just tools. The blockchain is simply a new form of arranging ledgers. It's just a tool, and it's how we use this tool which will determine whether it's a good tool or a bad tool. You know, at the moment, we've got to take into account that the world is run by criminals. That's what we need to take into account. There's nothing wrong with the technology. There's nothing wrong with any of the technology we're using. The problem is who controls the technology and our failure to deal with that issue, our failure to factor into our equations the reality that the world is run by criminals. And we need to take this into account with everything that we're doing. So there's nothing really wrong with the blockchain. It's just who is controlling the ship of state that is the problem. And again, it's those who are controlling the ship of state who are staging all these events at the moment, and there's so much theatre happening in the world to keep us distracted from this smart grid that's rolling out beneath it all. And we are seeing so much theatre. We're seeing the threat of war and all of these weather problems and everything that's happening just to keep the people distracted. But of course they're doing this because big things are on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen. Big things are about to happen. The whole system is changing. Everything is shifting. It's all shifting over to digital. It's all shifting over to smart. We're seeing the Chinese One Belt, One Road trade initiative going ahead in leaps and bounds. Massive infrastructure is being built across Europe for this. New roads, train tracks, all sorts of stuff are being laid for this new trade initiative that is going to be launched. I do very much suggest that when this is launched, it will see the loss of the US position as the global reserve currency, and we'll see cryptos take over global trading. And of course, while this is all happening, we're seeing the police state being locked down further and further because the people need to be controlled through this transition, which is why so many false flag attacks are being staged. And all these attacks are false flag attacks, folks. They're very desperate to remove the guns from the people in the United States, which is why all of these mass shootings are always being staged. And it's the government doing all of these things, folks. It's the government or forces within the government, the CIA, NSA, any of the alphabet agencies you care to name. They're all players, and all of this entire situation is being contrived and constructed to bring about a certain agenda. And it's all leading towards the same direction. And again, it's happening in every single country. You've got to get this concept that there are enemies out there, countries that actually want to go to war with each other. It's not simply governments colluding with each other to create the specter of war in order to lock down their populations a little more. And all of the terrorism and shootings we see in the United States is merely the way the government is moving to disarm the population. That's what all of them are being staged for. The more crimes they stage, the more easy it is to bring their police state online. And in all of these cases, folks, you've got to ask the question, cui bono, who benefits? Who benefits from all of these events? And when we see the government getting more and more power as these events unfold, well, it's easy to see who benefits and therefore easy to see who the true perpetrators are. Indeed, the Florida shooting seems to be one of the reasons for the recent purge on YouTube. There's been a lot of channels deleted. Virtually any channel who has even questioned the official version of the Florida shooting has found themselves deleted. And so it seems very obvious that people are right on the money with what they're saying, and the government simply doesn't want this information getting out to people. And we're going to see more and more of this, ladies and gentlemen, and it seems to be getting more and more blatant. There's no warning that anybody's getting that their channel is even going to be deleted. It just happens. And these are channels with massive amounts of subscribers and massive amounts of video views. YouTube doesn't care. And there's no appeal process, really. I mean, you can try to contact YouTube, but you never really get anywhere. And so it's very easy to see that they don't care, and it is a precursor for the type of social crediting system that they wish to bring in. You know, they're doing it to YouTube and Facebook accounts now, but when they start doing it to people's bank accounts and limiting people's purchasing power, we will see it really being taken to the next level. Incidentally, the gig that I was doing this weekend in Ireland has been cancelled as well due to inclement weather. There are blizzards flying across England and Ireland at the moment. Even here in Holland, it's ridiculously cold, 4 degrees below zero last night. Snow all over the ground today. A far cry from what it was like in Mexico last week, where I was lounging around in the sun by the pool. But yeah, for all those who are going to the gig in Ireland, unfortunately it has been cancelled. I think it's going to be rescheduled for another weekend. I'm not sure when that will be. Hopefully I'll still be in the area and I'll be able to go and speak at the new event when it happens. But otherwise, I'm sure the organisers of the event will keep those people who've bought tickets posted as to when the new event will be. So keep a lookout for that one, folks, and if you're in Ireland, do rug up, and I hope you're very safe from the storm and very safe from the blizzard. Do stay inside and do stay rugged up and do stay out of the weather. And you've really got to wonder about all of this weather we're seeing all around the world, folks. It's very strange. The blizzards that they're having in England at the moment, they've actually got blizzards in Devon. The people in Devon say they've never seen anything like it. This is way down in the south of England where it's generally warm for England. Now, couple that with the fires that we've seen recently, the weird hurricanes. I mean, there's a lot of very, very strange stuff going on with the weather. And one must really question how much of it is natural and how much of it is being manipulated, because they certainly do have the ability to do this type of thing. But it's a great shame that the gig in Ireland has been cancelled. I was looking forward to going over and doing it and speaking over there and meeting all the people in Ireland. But as I said, perhaps it will go forward on another day. Something I would suggest people do while all of these natural disasters are happening is keep an eye on Gaza Strip. Keep an eye on Palestine, because Israel always likes to use these type of events to carry out a few more human rights abuses in Palestine. And just check out what else may be happening on the political stage around the earth, because they like to keep us distracted with all of these things, ladies and gentlemen. When any of these natural disasters are happening, or wars, theatres of conflict they have happening, we usually see something pretty major happening in the political arena as well. Or we see some new technology, some new control system, some new legislation, something being rolled out while people aren't looking. So I suggest that people keep an eye on things in that regard as well. The people that are running the world never waste a good crisis, folks, because in every crisis there is opportunity, and they never let a good crisis go to waste. The question is, when are the people of this earth going to realize the crisis that they are in? Because the people of the earth are most certainly allowing a good crisis to go to waste, because the crisis that we are in at the moment, the state of urgency that the human race finds itself in at the hands of their government, certainly does provide a very, very good opportunity for freedom, should people be willing to grasp this gift that is being given to them. And it really is a gift, folks. You know, when you look at how much the system has exposed itself, you know, everybody knows how corrupt the politicians are these days. There's rarely a person on the street that you can talk to that doesn't realize there's something wrong and doesn't understand that their politicians are corrupt. The problem is that many people simply just don't know what to do about it. because they don't realize their own personal power, and they don't realize the power of a united community. And there's a lot of people out there saying, oh no, we don't want unity, this is a bad thing, we all need to be independent and go our own way. Well, that's all very well, and we do in our lives, but as far as a unity of focus and a unity of gaze at these politicians, perhaps a unity of pointing the finger and saying, hey, you people, we've caught you out, we know what you're doing, and we're going to sack you from your position, would be a good thing. You know, we can all maintain our individuality, but we most certainly need a unity of focus. If we don't get this unity of focus soon, then we're never going to find a way out of this mess. It's all going to slip into AI, and we're going to miss the opportunity that is being provided to us. And that would be a terrible thing if we do that, because it really is an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. And I think there's enough people that see it now. If we could just develop some sort of collective backbone and actually stand up for ourselves, then we might find that we can get out of this mess very easily. You know, the politicians are corrupt. It's a criminal class, and it's obvious that it's a criminal class. Everybody knows it. The problem is that people are too scared to actually say it. People still believe they need to be politically correct. They still have this ridiculous superstition that authority is real. And that's why we never see any real changes coming about, and we never change anything ourselves, because we won't change what's inside us and apply it to the world. We want someone to come along and lead us to safety. Someone to come along with some new movement or some new form we can fill out or some new petition we can sign. Some new contract we can enter into. Something that will change things without us really having to do anything and not really having to apply ourselves to the world. And that's never going to work, folks. You know, we need to grow a collective backbone and realize that what's running this world is people, just like us. You know, I've said this so many times on air. You know, there's no reason for you to do what these people say. There's no reason for you to respect authority the way you do, even believe you have to respect authority. I mean, if authority is righteous and it is good and it is doing a good thing, then yeah, maybe you should respect it. But when we have a world situation like we have now, and this world is run by a cacistocracy of utter scumbags that are milking the wealth of everybody they can, well, there's certainly nothing there that needs respecting. And the only thing that really causes us to respect it anyway is the training and the programming and the indoctrination that we've all undergone through this educational and social system. But folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so social crediting is going to be what dictates the future. Social crediting is going to be what shapes our lives from this point forward if we don't regain control of the system, or at least get some accountability from our politicians before it shifts into digital, before it all shifts into the smart grid. And it isn't just holding our politicians to account either. It's watching where the technology is going and who is in control of the technology. All these little think tanks they put together that don't really have any clue what the other think tanks are doing. We need to get to the mechanism that sits above that. Things such as the Rockefeller Foundation and some of the organizations, the Bill Gates Foundation, some of the organizations that sit above things and steer the direction the technology is taking, because eugenics, depopulation, and control is always the main agenda for these people. And as I've so often said, they all follow the same agenda, folks. They're all working towards the same game plan. That's why they all liaise with each other. They all have lunch with each other. They all have dinner dates with each other. They all have these meetings all the time. Why do you think you've got people like Kissinger, who is basically a mole and a gopher for everybody? He liaises with everybody. It doesn't matter if this country is the perceived enemy or not. They're getting advice from Kissinger, because the reality is that they're all players of the same agenda, and they're all just playing their role for the week or the month. Whoever is going to be the enemy, whoever's going to be the good guy, whoever's going to be this, whoever's going to be that. And it's all to bring about the same agenda. Most of what we see on the political stage is theatrics. None of it is real. It's just countries and politicians facing off against each other in order to lock their populations down into a tighter control grid. You know, pretend that there is this threat of war coming from across the border when it isn't. It's just another leader colluding with this leader in order to create the situation they need to bring about the agenda they want to roll out. And if it ever gets to the point where they need to push it a little further and they actually do need to go to war, well, it's never the governments that go and attack each other. They just go and bomb the people of each country, the people who had nothing to do with it. They go and bomb the civilian populations and say, oh dear, we're at war. But it's not. It's not the governments fighting each other. If the government of China wants to go and have a war with the government of America, if these two governments have a problem with each other, why don't they go and take out the government buildings? Why don't they go and bomb all the civilians who have nothing to do with it? Because it's theatre for the masses. It promotes the concept that, yes, we are at war, but really we're not. We're just killing each other's populations to bring about an agenda because we both agree this is the way we want to play it. And that's the way governments work. They're all corrupt, folks, every single one of them. And it's the same with every country, folks. They all work together. They all support the same agenda. There are no real enemies on this earth. I mean, sure, there might have been at some stage, but there isn't anymore. The world is run by business now, and business is what dictates the actions of everybody. You know, and sure, you might get people on the ground that perceive they're enemies. I mean, you might get the people in Palestine and the people in Israel definitely facing off against each other. But when you look at the leadership, you look at Hamas and the Israeli government, these are not enemies. You look at Hamas and the Israeli government and the Muslim Brotherhood and the government of Egypt and the government of Yemen and the government of Saudi Arabia. None of these governments are enemies. They all work together. However, the people feel about each other is because of the way the government and education system and basically the world situation has programmed them to think. But the governments aren't enemies. The governments are working together to bring about the same agenda in all countries. You know, the main activity of government is cooking up enough fake scenarios to convince the populace that they actually need the government to be there. Because we only really need government to protect us from enemies, but all the enemies are created by government. So it's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. It's racketeering. It's us paying protection money to the perpetrators of all the crimes that have been carried out against us. All of the problems that we face in society, they all come from government. And the government just wants to lock everybody down into a nanny state in whichever country that you live in. They want you to be completely dependent upon the government for everything that you do and to never think outside the box and to ask permission for everything you do and to ask advice for every decision you need to make. Never think for yourself. Never feel that you have any power. Never stand up as a people. Never have any creative ideas. Just do what you're told. Be a good little cog in the big machine and you'll get along fine. That's what government wants. And as I said, folks, it's just racketeering. That's all it is. It's a bunch of opportunists who've maneuvered themselves into power and are ripping everybody off, and it's about time we change things. The question is, how do we change it? Well, it's really got to come from the minds of the children. You know, we have to start becoming parents again, folks. We have to start looking after our children, paying attention to the direction that the ship of state is leading them. Pay attention to what the education system is teaching them. Pay attention to what legislation the government is bringing in to control them. Pay attention to what vaccines we're giving them. Pay attention to what's going on with the vaccine laws in your country as well. I mean, this is something that's incredible that people aren't seeing the vaccine situation. It's got me bamboozled how many people actually support the government's vaccine agenda when it has been so well proven how much damage these things do. But there's even so many truthers that support the government's vaccine agenda. And look, folks, it's an agenda that is being rolled out by the government. Remember the government? The government, the people who stage all of these false flags, the people who are pushing GM food on the people, waging all these wars, the people who are enslaving us to this corrupt monetary system, the people who are feeding us all this fluoride, which is destroying the cognitive function of so many of the people. The government that has created this education system, which doesn't educate people anymore, just indoctrinates them. These governments populated by war criminals who are supporting the war crimes of Israel and the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. These governments who have supported this entire mess. The governments who have destroyed Africa. The governments who have destroyed our environments around us. The governments who are mining the Great Barrier Reef. The governments who keep sending children off to foreign countries to kill other people's children in all these contrived wars they cook up. The governments that killed 262 million people of their own populations in the last century. These are the people that are supporting the vaccine agenda. When you look at everything else this government does, everything else that every government does, why on earth would you think that vaccines are for your benefit and that vaccines are actually there to help people? Why would you think that from these people? When you look at their track record, what's another thing that they do that actually helps the people? What's anything government does that actually helps the people? Democide or death by government is the leading cause of death in the world and always has been. And why are they going to backflip on vaccines? Why is this going to be the one thing they're doing which is actually improving the human condition? Of course it's not. It's all part of the same agenda, folks. Governments don't do anything to improve the human condition. Governments only do things to improve their own condition and to control the people. Just the fact that the government is promoting it tells you it's corrupt right from the beginning, otherwise the government wouldn't be pushing it on the people. Government wouldn't be making it mandatory if it was actually going to help you, folks. They give you a decision to help yourself. They let you make the decision to help yourself. The fact that it's mandatory shows that it's doing damage, and they want to do damage, and they want everybody to have this because they have an agenda that includes everybody. I mean, that should be pretty obvious just by the fact that they've made vaccinations mandatory in some countries. But honestly, when you look at the track record of government, it's got me mind blown how anybody could even begin to not question the government's agenda with vaccines. Like I said, death by government, democide, is the leading cause of death, and it always has been. Why on earth would you think that they're going to do anything different with vaccines? Why on earth would you be trusting these people on this one issue? You know, these people who create all these wars and have done all these terrible things to the human race, what, you're going to let them come along and inject you with things and inject your children with toxins because they say it is helping them? Seriously? How could anybody think that? How could you even possibly have so much cognitive dissonance in your mind that you would even for a moment consider that the government was doing anything to help the people? Most especially the Australian government, which seems to be really pushing this vaccine agenda. I mean, does it occur to anybody that Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister of Australia, his wife has major shares in the vaccine companies that are promoting and distributing all these vaccines? They're making a killing. They're making a fortune out of distributing these vaccines. I mean, that is a conflict of interest straight away. The Prime Minister's wife is the one who is profiting from the vaccines they're pushing on the people. And this is the Malcolm Turnbull government, folks. This is the Prime Minister who was using the Australian Air Force to provide air support for ISIS terrorists in Syria last year. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull himself is an ex-investment banker. I mean, this Australian government is so utterly corrupt and so utterly anti-life and anti-human and anti-people and anti-anything of substance or good or value or benefit for the human race. How could anybody be supporting the agenda of this unelected Prime Minister who is simply pushing the globalist agenda on his people? That's all he's doing. And no one voted for him. He was just put in place. Another puppet to lead the people into the pits of hell the way all these governments are doing. You know, and so often I've looked at all this, folks, and so often I've mentioned to you on the show that what we're really facing here is a spiritual battle. You know, and our lack of backbone, our failure to stand up for ourselves, our willingness to just comply and roll over on demand, this is all a failure to deal with this spiritual battle that's going on. It's a failure to really deal with the darker side of ourselves. It's a failure to ever see the true value of ourselves. Our need to live in fear all the time, our programming to live in fear, our training, our indoctrination that causes us to live in a state of fear, to live in a state of subservience, to live in a state where we believe authority is real. But now we've reached a marker in the road, a marker in the path. Now we've reached a turning point. Now we've reached a crossroads. Now we've reached the point where we actually have to make the decision. You know, and why would people remain in fear of all this, really? I mean, when you look at what's coming, everyone can see it. Everyone can see what this new world order is going to be, what this smart grid's going to be, but people are in too much fear of standing up against it. They're in fear of what's coming, They're in fear of the smart grid. They don't want it to happen. They don't want to be led into this society, but they're not doing anything about it because they're in fear of doing something about it. And yet they're in fear of the society that's coming on. Well, what would you prefer to do? Would you prefer to live in that smart prison that's being rolled out, or would you prefer to do something about it now? I mean, wouldn't you prefer to die on your feet than on your knees? I mean, that's the way I feel about it, folks. So I'm not going to sit here and just take a backward step to this and think that it's all going to go away if I keep my head down and don't rock the boat and pretend that I'm just this nice, compliant little citizen. I'm not going to walk between those lines. I'm not going to do this with my life. I'm not going to allow the world to be destroyed around me. I'm not going to allow the children that are growing up into this society to be programmed into being drones. I'm not going to allow the human race to be discarded, for partners to be replaced by sex robots so that there's no relationship between the species anymore, no relationship between the genders. I mean, how long do you think we will last as a species if this happens, folks? We've all got our sex robot partners, and if we want to have children, what, we go to the ectogenesis lab and we grow our babies in there? I mean, is that the sort of society we want to have? Is that something that we think is going to benefit humankind? And why would we fail to do something about this? Now, how can people look at this world and look at this government and just allow these people to get away with what they do without wanting to do something about it, without standing up and saying something, without realizing that it's just people? You don't have to do what they say. There is no authority over you. They don't have any authority over you, only the authority that you give them, that you take away from yourself. Now, it's only programming that has allowed this mindset to come about to begin with, but really when you look at the direction that the world is going, if you're in fear of what is coming, then you should not be in fear of standing up to stop it, because you've got an opportunity to stand up and stop it now. Once it all comes online and once it's all rolled out, you won't have that opportunity. And when you sit in that smart prison and you look at your surroundings, you'll have no one to blame but yourself, because you just allowed it to happen and you didn't say anything. It's like someone's overcharging you at the counter. You're going to say something. You're just not going to accept that they're overcharging you and then go home and complain to the fact that you paid twice as much money for this item you just bought when you could have said something at the counter. That's what's happening now, folks. We're standing at the counter and we're not saying anything. We're just allowing ourselves to be overcharged for everything. We're allowing ourselves to be led into a cage and we're saying, no problem, could you paint the bars a nice color for me? I mean, sure, not everybody's doing this. There are some people that are attempting to make a stand. I mean, many of the cryptocurrency crew are attempting to make a stand because they genuinely believe that the problem is simply banking. And they believe that if they can step outside of the banking system, then this is a blow for the government and this is going to lead them to safety. But the problem is they're failing to take the smart grid and the Internet of Things into account, and they're failing to look at social crediting. Because social crediting is something that is absolutely going to checkmate the cryptocurrency world if they're not careful. And you've really got to look at it and you've got to wonder, well, who invented cryptocurrency? Who invented the digital currency? Was this done in order to lead us into this Internet of Things and this social crediting system? Because that is one real possibility. Or was the social crediting system and Internet of Things brought about in order to combat the rise of cryptocurrency? I mean, either way, both of these things are happening, and if those that are embracing the cryptocurrencies do not pay attention to the IoT and the social crediting system, then it's going to lead them to a bad place. And that's the thing. That's why we're at a crossroads, because the cryptocurrencies could lead us to somewhere good. And again, people have to get over this paranoia of the blockchain and this paranoia of cryptocurrencies. They've got to really step back and put things on the world stage and see how we can use these tools and how we can lead ourselves if we decide to do so. Again, the problem is that we allow ourselves to be led all the time. We'll look at all this stuff and we'll just say, oh, well, the cryptos are either good or they're bad, and then we'll sit back and watch to see which direction it goes. So then we can say, oh, well, look, that confirms that they're now good, or it now confirms that they're now bad. We don't realize we are the ones that have the opportunity to steer the direction that it goes, rather than simply sitting back and allowing it to be steered and watching what happens. And we tend to do this with everything, folks. This is one of the things that the media does. It's this mindset that it puts in people. People get the newspaper or they watch the news every day and they think that they're informed and they think that they've actually participated in the workings of the world by simply watching the news, but they haven't. It's their everyday actions and the things that they do which determines the direction that we're going to go. And it's the same with the governments. It's the same with everything this ruling kakistocracy is rolling out. It only works because we just go along with it. They roll it out and we never question it. We just say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Gee, I don't like this, but we do it anyway, rather than simply asking why. Rather than asking our employees why they dare to believe that they can inflict themselves upon us the way they do. Of course, we do everything that we do because of the thugs in black Kevlar that stand around to protect society by intimidating society and making sure that everybody does what the politicians say. But we don't question that either. We never question the actions of these people. We never rally the people around us to make change. And that's what we need to do. And that's why we need this unity of focus. You know, and I get a lot of flack for that, saying you need unity of focus, or you're a socialist, you're this or you're that, you know, you're a Marxist or whatever. Yeah, and I don't do isms, folks. I think everybody should maintain their individuality. Everybody should be free to be exactly who and what they want to be. But we should not tolerate wrong behavior the way we do. We need a unity of focus towards our politicians because we need people to identify the fact that the world is run by criminals and identify the fact that the only people who are going to change this situation is us. But it's only going to happen when we choose to call it out, when we put down the fear and we stand up to address the people who are abusing the office that they hold and leading a world in a direction that we don't want it to go. Now, we just comply with all this, folks. We complain about it, but we comply with it, you know. And there's no good complaining about it if you're going to comply. If you're just going to do these things and you're just going to go along with what the politicians say, then don't complain about it because you're just doing it anyway. What's the point of complaining if you're going to do it anyway? I just don't do it. I'll complain about it and I'll refuse to do it. And I'll ask questions about why these people think they have the ability to do what they're doing. And that's what we need to do, folks. Now, we've got an opportunity here. And I've been coming onto these shows for so many years now saying, look, we've got an opportunity. We can change things. But we're running out of time. We're running out of space. We're running out of every opportunity that we've ever had because this smart grid is rolling out. And once it rolls out, we're not going to have these opportunities, folks. And now's the time to stand up. Now's the time for everybody to get involved. And I know I've been saying it so often lately, but it is time for people to get involved. And all I'm asking you to do is question authority. Just ask the right questions, spread information to people around you, and stop complying with your own enslavement. You know, if someone's coming along to lead you into a cage, are you just going to walk in there and say, it's okay if you paint the bars green for me? I mean, why would you even allow yourself to be let in there? You think they're going to be nice to you. You think your slave masters are going to be nice. You think we can petition these people to do the right thing. Look at the world, folks. Look where they've led us. Look at the state of this place. Look at the amount of people that have been murdered by government. Look at all the rules they bring in. Look at this money system. Look at the education system. Look what they've done to humankind. And ask yourself the question, should we be relying on these people to lead us to any point of safety? And do you actually think that they will ever do so? Do you actually think that they will ever care or they will ever do the right thing? They won't. All you have to do is look at their track record. Look at history. Look at the history of government in every country. What government has ever done the right thing? You know, we just don't need these people. Government is racketeering. It's opportunists who maneuver themselves in power and are milking the wealth of everybody and locking this entire world down into a digital prison whereby they sit at the top, pull all the strings, harvest all the children that they want, and checkmate for the human race. That's all government is doing, folks. That's all these people have ever done. And it's about time we called it, you know, because we have a real opportunity for freedom. We have so much potential. You know, the human race has so much potential, and that's why I've done this for so many years, and that's why I continue to do this. That's been my motivation in everything, because I can see the potential we have. And we want freedom. We need freedom. Freedom is our basic state. Freedom is what we deserve. Freedom is our birthright, and we don't have it. We are so controlled by these people, and I'm so tired of seeing the human suffering that exists on this earth. I'm so tired of seeing my brothers and sisters struggling. I'm so tired of seeing people suffer unnecessarily because of regulations and rules that are put in place by the corrupt criminal powers who control all of our systems of government, systems of management. The world's a mess, folks. It really is. And the problem is we look at it and we say, well, isn't that terrible? Someone should fix it. But we never really say who that someone should be. We just say, well, government should fix it because that's who fixes things. No, it isn't who fixes things. It's who creates things. Government is who creates all these problems to begin with. And this is a spiritual battle that we are facing. It is up to us to realize our own potential and to stand up and simply call things for what they are. And that's why they're bringing in all this ridiculous political correctness. That's why they're doing everything they can to repress people's emotions. That's why they are doing everything they can to make any expression of emotion seem like a disorder. If you get angry about anything, oh my God, you've got some sort of anger management issues or whatever. No, folks, you should get angry. You should look at the world around you. You should look at what these politicians are doing, and you should get angry. We need the world to get angry. We need people to really start calling things out for what they are. Take their blinkers off. Stop being politically correct. Stop caring if you offend somebody who very likely deserves to be offended because of the actions they performed and the blinkered state that they're living their life in, most especially if they're a politician. Most of these politicians deserve to be offended because most politicians are very offensive people by default. I mean, that's what makes people politicians, folks. I mean, you've got to be an offensive person and you've got to be a barefaced liar to be a successful politician. It's a prerequisite. For any successful politician, you've got to be able to look at honest people directly in the face and tell them barefaced lies with complete and utter disregard for any hardship you're going to cause for them. And if you can't do that, you'll never make it in the modern political arena. And that's an unfortunate fact. And that's a reality we need to acknowledge because that is the type of people we're dealing with. So it's pointless thinking that you're ever going to get any honesty out of these people or that they are ever going to lead us to any point of safety. They're not, because it's simply not what politicians do, and it's not what government is for. Well, folks, again, we're getting to that time where we have reached the end of the show. I do apologize for not bringing you a show last week. It was very difficult to do with travel. And again, for those that were expecting to be coming to the gig in Ireland this weekend, that gig has been cancelled. I will be speaking at AB9 later in the year, in May, around about May 7th or May 8th, I think that's happening. And that will be in the UK in the Midlands, in Milton Keynes, I believe, where it was last year. I will also be speaking at Regeneration that is happening in LA. That will be happening at the end of May or possibly in the first week of June. Once I get some confirmation of that and I get some more information, I'll put a banner up on the website. There's also a chemtrail conference I'll be speaking at in Virginia. I think that's happening on May 26th and I'll get a banner up on the website for that as soon as I'm able to as well. The Cambo workshops that were going to be happening in Hawaii in June have been cancelled due to problems there at the retreat. The people who run the place just can't put the retreat together this year, which is unfortunate, but there's a good possibility I will be holding some Cambo workshops in late May in the United States, probably in LA, and I'll get some information to you regarding that as well. There's also a possibility I'll be holding some Cambo workshops in Holland in April. Again, when more information comes to hand and I have something definite planned, I will get a banner up on the website for those who are interested in participating in any of those workshops. But that will be the last gigs that I'm doing for a while, the last speaking dates that I'm doing for a while. It will be AV9 in May and the Chemtrail Conference in May 26 and Regeneration. I don't plan on doing any more talks this year after those talks. The next talk I will possibly be doing would be Anacapulco next February. And that is really the only talk that I'm planning on doing in 2019. I really do want to have some time off the road, folks. It's been kind of getting to me. It's very, very draining, all the traveling, and it's just not good for your health. And I need to have some time out. I need to go home and try to recuperate, get some of my strength back. So that's what I plan on doing in 2019. And I want to be able to work on the films and get them released by 2020 as well. So that's the plan for the next year once I get through this tour. But thank you to all those people who continue to listen to this show. Thank you to all those people who continue to support the website. Thank you to my Patreon supporters. You are the only thing that keeps this show on the air, and I cannot thank you people enough. I really can't. That's actually my only source of income at the moment, folks, is my Patreon account. I've depleted all my savings. I've never monetized my YouTube account. I've never put any advertising on the website. I've always wanted to keep this as something of integrity. I've always wanted people to know that this isn't something that I do for money, and it isn't any sort of a career path. It's just something that I do because it needs to be done, and I thank you very much for the support you've shown me over the years in enabling me to keep this work happening and to keep this message going out to the people. And I truly am most sincere in saying that, folks. I cannot thank you enough for the help that you've given me. But that is it for me now, folks. I've completely run out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.